Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Tavares King, my co-host, and we are here on the Believe Podcast Network, as always, and streaming on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. And Tavares, man, Georgia-Florida week. We already broke that down in a preview earlier, but, man, there's couple more really good games going on in the SEC this week, and we're going to chop those up here in a minute.
Yeah, got some solid ones. Got Ole Miss, Auburn, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. Should be some good games. And, yeah, like you said, we're going to break those down. Obviously, we got that big one in Jacksonville, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Excited about that one. So, we got some big ones, man. Excited about SEC play this week.
TK and I already went on record, and, you know, guys, if you don't check us out on the podcast format, make sure to subscribe. You can type in Second to None or type in, Tavares' name, my name, should come up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get them, to make sure to check that out. You can check them out in the archives. So we really, really appreciate that, of course. And, you know, we'll be also here in a minute talking about recruiting. There's lots of high-profile recruiting battles that are going on in the SEC. And, you know, when it comes down to it, TK, before I touch on some of those, man, it's just the nature of recruiting in the SEC. I mean, it is the bloodline, you know, that keeps everything pumping. And it's just getting that recruiting machine just seems to get bigger and bigger for all these SEC schools.
Yeah, bro. I mean, everybody wants to play in the SEC. I mean, I think I saw a quote come out today from Joe Burrow where it said these NFL games, kind of the crowd that never comes into play because the SEC is so loud. So, I mean, everybody wants to be a part of it. Even from a fan standpoint, I got people coming up to me asking me to come to Georgia games. I don't know you. No, I'm just kidding. But no, man, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different thing, and it's a different kind of ball that kids want to be a part of, because they do feel like it prepares them for the next level and propels them to the next level. So, recruiting in the SEC is at its finest right now.
Yeah, and these teams that are consistently putting these top recruiting classes, that is something that is a safe bet, something you can put your money on, that they're going to become contenders here soon. You've seen Kentucky increase their recruiting, and a lot of these schools, of course, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, they're all there. But, guys, speaking of betting, you know, BetOnline remains the number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. So if you're wanting to put a little bit of extra on things, baseball playoffs, all that kind of stuff, you need to head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV50 to receive your bonus. Like I said, from basketball, football, baseball postseason, the Braves are in the World Series. That's united all of SEC country here, TK. NHL, I don't know what hockey even is, but, you know, some people like to watch it. Boxing, UFC, it's all the way to Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the exciting, amazing offers they have in the 2021 season. Bet online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. And TK, like I said, we've already previously covered the Georgia game against Florida, their 14-point favorite. We're going to hit Kentucky at Mississippi State. Kentucky's a 1-point favorite on the road. Ole Miss at Auburn, 2.5-point favorite for Auburn at home, with the number 10 Rebels coming in town. But before we get to that, TK, I do want to talk about this recruiting that's going on, right? Some of these top SEC recruiting battles. It is Georgia-Florida week, and Florida just lost a recruit, their top recruit in the class. Julian Humphrey runs a 4.35 40, a cornerback out of Texas. They lost him. He committed, literally, we're recording this on Monday night, releasing on Wednesday morning. He, I believe, at around 9 o'clock on Monday night, Julian Humphrey decommits from Florida. Texas A&M and Georgia now are going to be a kind of a dogfight going in there. He's visited both on an official capacity here recently. You know, TK, when you got a game changer like that, Julian Humphrey, 4.35 speed at the cornerback position, just talk to people what that allows, you know, defensive coaches to do and all that kind of stuff.
Man, it's huge when you got a guy like that that can run like that on that side of the ball, out wide. He basically can control, you know, a quadrant of the field. So you can do some special things when you've got that kind of speed. You can drop him back and play a cover two invert, and he can play half of the field even. So, I mean, you can do a lot of special stuff with a cat like that. So he definitely somebody that would – any team would love to have, and I'm sure Kirby Smart would love to have him.
Looks to be a battle of the Bainbridge boys, Nick Williams and Kirby Smart going to bat for Julian Humphrey right here.
Hey, that's a true Bainbridge Southern Georgia battle right there, man. So that'll be awesome.
Absolutely. Speaking of Texas A&M, a lot of this surrounds around this, guys, because they just had a big weekend of recruiting visits over there at A&M. They absolutely pounded on South Carolina, but Walter Nolan was there, who's the top defensive tackle in the country, a five-star out of Powell, Tennessee. The University of Tennessee is right on him because, you know, Powell is literally in the shadow of Neyland Stadium, so he's right there. They, in fact, played one of their high school games or Jamboree there earlier this year. So Walter Nolan, Tennessee, Texas A&M, firmly in the picture for him. I tend to think Texas A&M may have the driver's seat there.
I don't know, bro. Tennessee might have a shot, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, being that close with the proximity and
Coach Heupel's got a – man, he I feel like he's got something special brewing up there. Again, Hendon Hooker, throw that name out there. Say, come protect this kid. So
no doubt. So you got Walter Nolan there, and then also on that visit was Shamar Stewart, and Shamar Stewart is out of the Miami area, Monsignor Pace. He's down there, and guys, you know, Texas A&M, Georgia, really the two SEC schools that are in the mix for Shamar Stewart at this point. So, you know, we'll see. Denver Harris is a five-star corner that looks to be trending towards Alabama from what everybody can tell. Of course, Evan Stewart is a wide receiver from Frisco, Texas that can absolutely fly. Alabama would love to be in on him. Florida would love to be in on him. So we'll see what happens there. But guys, those are some of the bigger recruiting battles that I wanted to touch on, especially that decommitment of Julian Humphrey from Florida, because here's the thing that may be going on. Not only TK has Julian Humphrey decommitted from Florida, but they're formerly a guy who was rated even higher than Julian Humphrey, Shamar James, a linebacker, inside linebacker from Mobile, Alabama. He decommitted from Florida last week. And both of these decommitments come on the heels of visits to the University of Georgia. Here's my thing, TK. I think, you know, at times there are times where coaches make a decision in season to say, hey, next year we're moving on from this coordinator. And Todd Grantham may have already been told, you know, hey, it's not going to be you next year, dog. And they have to communicate that kind of stuff to recruits, you know?
Well, I mean, you take it a step further. They can read, they can hear, they can see. We talked about it earlier. That seat is getting a little hot down there. So Dan Mullen, even in that sense, might not be safe. So guys might be taking that into account as well.
Absolutely. So a lot of going on. We like to touch on some recruiting at least once a week on here, just kind of give you a little tidbit on some of that stuff going on. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get to one of our first previews here. And TK, right off the bat, the game, other than, you know, Georgia Florida, of course, because of the rivalry, the game I'm most excited about would be the Ole Miss at Auburn game. Auburn, a 2.5-point favorite at home, Jordan Hare Stadium. First of all, before we, you know, dig into this matchup, you know, you've played there in Jordan Hare. You know what these big game atmospheres are like over at Auburn. Do you feel like Vegas is just factoring just the atmosphere alone in a lot to this line with number 10 Ole Miss coming into town?
I think atmosphere definitely plays into it. We've all seen a lot of magic happen in Jordan Hare Stadium. So definitely a lot of good things happen there. So that might play into a little bit of what Vegas got going on. But man, I personally think that This Ole Miss team is kind of rolling right now, and a reason for them rolling is Lane Kiffin, man. He's got everybody believing in what's going on, and we've talked about it on the show before. I think I've said it, that they find a way to win, and somehow that motto has went from this show to that locker room. It's their motto. They find a way, and then they do find a way with guys out wide, banged up. Matt Corral hasn't been able to really do as much as he needs to do or wants to do through the air. A lot of his production has been on the ground. So with guys banged up, they've still been getting it done. So I think they definitely have their work cut out for them, but find a way has been their motto, and I think they might just find a way this weekend. But they definitely got their work cut out for them in Auburn, and with a guy like Bo Nix at the helm for them, he's been a different player since he's came back after being benched. So I definitely think that they got their work cut out for them.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be a tough environment. But, you know, one thing that I see about this Ole Miss team is you just kind of look at the trends, TK, this year, right? They've played Louisville on a neutral site. They beat Austin Peay at home. They beat Tulane at home. They go to Alabama, which Alabama's tough enough, but you go to Alabama, they play subpar there, come back home, winning a shootout against Arkansas, go on the road to Tennessee. Have some struggles there at a certain point in time, but it's still a good win over an improving Tennessee team. Then come back home and demolish LSU. And, you know, now they go into another hostile environment. This will be definitely, I think, the most hostile since that Alabama game. So how do they handle it, right? Have they learned from that previous experience in Alabama? Because that's the mark of a true a good team, right? And a good coaching staff. They're able to learn from previous experiences. You know, they weren't able to run the ball a lick against Alabama, and Alabama doesn't have the greatest run defense in the world. It's always going to be good, but this year that's been a chink in the armor for them where they've been able to give up some rushing yards. So, you know, can they run the football effectively against a good Auburn defensive front? We'll see. We'll see how that ends up happening. I think that one of the bigger matchups in this game is going to be flip that around, their run defense. They did a great job of shutting down an LSU team, I think, to 77 rushing yards after LSU just ran for 321 on Florida. So that 3-2-6 defense that you see, you know, that has a lot of gaps up there up front, they were closing them down in a hurry. What do you think? Do you think Ole Miss defense will have back-to-back good weeks and be able to slow down Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter? And then also you got to worry about Bo Nix's legs as well.
Yeah, I think that they definitely have to get out of that 3-2-6 or do what they've been doing here of late, and that's putting more guys on the line and putting more guys up in the box to slow down a Tank Bigsby, because you better believe Coach Bobo is going to turn around and hand it to that guy, because he's special, especially when he gets rolling.
Jarquez Hunter's not bad either.
Yeah, both of them. You got a little thunder lightning action. So then on top of that, you have to worry about a Bo Nix. So again, they've got their work, or as I like to call them, Lamar Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
Because you never know when that cat's going to do something razzle-dazzly. We've seen it this year. We've seen it before. And again, special things happen. Magic always happens in Jordan Air Stadium. So I think it'll be close. But I do think that Auburn.
Well, hold on. Before you make a pick, I think one thing that'll be big here, TK, is does Auburn get Owen Papo back? You know, the superstar out of the state of Georgia that's been hurt for 4 weeks with an ankle injury. You know, it's still – they're coming off a bye week, so I'm sure he's had time to rest and things like that, but he's missed 4 games for Auburn now. That is huge if they get number zero back on that defense for Auburn. I mean, Brian Harsin came out and said that, you know, they need Owen Papo. And when you have a difference maker at linebacker like that, kind of the heart and soul of your defense, just talk about from, you know, even an offensive player's perspective, when you have a leader on that defensive side of the ball, what does that do for the confidence of your team?
I mean, it does a lot, especially in the middle of the defense. It's a guy that communicates a lot, a guy that's very vocal, has to communicate both coverage and front assignments at times. So it definitely does a lot from that standpoint. And then you add in the energy, the effort, the playmaking ability. When guys make plays, it fires up other guys. And we talk about it at the quarterback position, but we don't talk about that same thing from a defensive perspective. When that's how your play is, how you elevate the play of others on defense. So missing a guy like that is key. So definitely getting him back would be huge for that Auburn defense.
Yeah, and you know, so we're gonna see how this plays out on the injury front. Like you said, some people banged up out wide. Matt Corral's had some bumps and bruises along the way, but you know that he's gonna do everything he can to try to get ready for this game.
He's got Heisman capability. Obviously, again, circumstances, in my opinion, circumstances doesn't allow him to showcase those Heisman capabilities at all times. But even still, dude, he's still that caliber of player.
Yeah, so given all that, we're talking about it's at Auburn. We're talking about, you know, Ole Miss trying to put, you know, two back-to-back weeks. You know, part of Lane Kiffin's, you know, mantra lately has been going from good to great. He sees some things in this Ole Miss team that he think they can end up being great at. Do you think that Ole Miss will be able to put together back-to-back defensive performances to play complementary football with that that offense, or do you feel like Bo Nix has some magic there in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and who wins this one on Saturday?
Yeah, man, I think that's the key in the game. If they can, you know, get to Bo Nix and harass him a little bit, and him not sneak out of there like he does, then I think this game goes in their favor. But obviously, points are going to be scored. Ole Miss puts up a bunch of them, I think they find a way to get it done. I really like what Lane Kiffin and this Ole Miss team is doing. I feel like they're progressively getting better and better every week, even again, like we talked about, banged up. So I think they find a way to squeak through. 42-38. Lane Train.
So 42-38. We're going Ole Miss over Auburn. That's TK's pick. I don't know if you know, we say this every week. Is it going to be high scoring with Ole Miss? And is it going to be a game where, you know, that just the over is absolutely, you know, what you take and things like that? And it seems like every time we think that, TK, the defense for Ole Miss decides to step up a little bit. And you know, they say, hey, we practice during the week too. You know, we get ready to play these games too. We watch film. They're not like Gronk over there saying when they ask Gronk, do you watch film? He said, no, I just run past people. You know,
he don't have to. Tom watches his film.
That's it. But no, I think you know, the over under on this one's 67. So you're definitely taking the over on that one. I'm gonna say that with it being at Auburn and knowing that Mike Bobo and how he does things, and the ability to control the clock, I'm going to say Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter are, you know, they're going to, during that bye week, they've had to get right, you know, because they didn't run the ball well against Georgia. They didn't really run it particularly well against an Arkansas team. I think that Mike Bobo and Brian Harsin make a concerned effort during that bye week and this week of practice preparing for Ole Miss. That atmosphere, I was on the field for the Georgia-Auburn game, and when Auburn had that momentum early in that game, TK.
Boy, they got a first down.
No, but I'm saying when they had some success earlier in that game, it, man, it gets loud. I'm just telling you, there's speakers on the field, all that kind of, that huge scoreboard they have, all that kind of stuff, it gets really loud. And I just don't know that Ole Miss, even though Lane Kiffin and that program have done a lot of good things this year. I don't know if they're quite ready for that environment. Maybe they've learned from Alabama. We'll see. I will say this. I think Auburn's crowd is much louder than Alabama's crowd. Alabama's a more, you know, hey, we're entitled, entertain me type crowd, you know, like, hey, do something great so I can golf clap type deal.
They're used to this.
Yeah, they're not. It takes a little bit to get those guys excited. You know, when you got so many rings on your fingers, it's weighing your hands down. It's hard to clap. You know what I'm saying? But we'll have Auburn's. I think Auburn's atmosphere, Bo Nix's ability to ad lib. I think Bo Nix outduels Matt Corral in this game. I don't think that Ole Miss has that great of a secondary. It's going to allow Auburn's receivers to look better than what they are. Demetrius Robertson, I think, will play, and then that run game will get going. I like Auburn to win this one close, maybe a field goal late. I'm going to take Auburn to win. I'm going to take Auburn to win 34-31 over Ole Miss. So I'm going to take Auburn to cover, and I'm going to take the under on this one because it's 67 is over. So that's my take on that one, TK. And we got one more game to break down here on this Wednesday edition of the Second and None podcast. Before we get to that one, guys, make sure to go ahead and hit the like button, turn on notifications, subscribe. We appreciate that on the YouTube channel. Again, you can find us Second and None podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We really, really appreciate any kind of feedback, give comments, all that kind of stuff. What would you like to see covered? Put some suggestions out there. We'll do that kind of stuff. We love participation in here. So make sure to do all that good stuff, and we really appreciate it. Now, TK, when it comes to Kentucky visiting Mississippi State, these are two teams that you and I have both been high on all season. Mm-hmm. Really, really like what Zach Arnett and that Mississippi State coaching staff under the direction of Mike Leach have done there. And it is a totally different vibe this year with Mississippi State. Year two of that program under Mike Leach, you can start to see some of that culture, that kind of almost that carefree, we're not scared of anything mentality that Leach has come out in this team.
Yeah. And I love every bit of Coach Leach's swagger, bro. The air raid offense is special. In the way that they play is his style. They play fast. They take chances. And it's fun to watch. But with that, you got to be able to play a little defense, and that's something that I think that has been the most impressive this year, is that those guys have gotten so much better. Early on, we were a little worried about. Yeah,
they gave up 34 to La Tech, and then they turn around the next week and then hold a good NC State team. Well, we thought they were good. Maybe they weren't so good. They lost to Miami this past week, TK.
Yeah, they were good at the time. But no, man, I think that's the most surprising thing about this this Mississippi State squad is Zach Arnett and that defense, bro, and the way that they've been able to slow folks down. Just enough for that air raid to be in enough to get by. So
I mean,
excited about this game as well. Obviously they got some work cut out for him with Will Levis and his goons out wide coming into town. Cause he's got several that could make a play. Obviously Wandale.
Is Josh Ali healthy? You know, he didn't play in the Georgia game. So we'll see. He's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got weapons galore. So definitely that defense has their work cut out for him with Chris Rodriguez coming into town. It'll be a special day, I think, for him. It could be on the ground. So, I mean, he's a special player. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this Mississippi State team, it's just consistency, right? You know, and that's to be expected. You know, can we – it's year two of the program. Can we see the Mississippi State team that beat Texas A&M the week before Texas A&M went and beat Alabama? You know, I mean, that's the question. Or are we going to see a team like the game they played against LSU, where they basically sleptwalked for three quarters and tried to make a frantic comeback in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's just depending on what team you're going to see coming off a 45-6 romp over Vanderbilt non-conference game, right? At Vanderbilt doesn't count, not in conference. You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who? We don't know. But, you know, 1-point underdog at home. I like, you know, I was ultra impressed with Will Levis against Georgia. The way that he handled, I mean, that is some intense pressure coming after you with that front seven that Georgia has. And he didn't put up eye-popping numbers or anything like that. But the way, TK, that he used his athleticism and, you know, moved in the pocket. I'm not talking about scrambling off for big gainers or anything.
Right, but right. Real pocket movement. I get what you're saying.
He would just move, you know, he would just move subtly here and there, and also, you know, even backpedaling to his left a little bit, trying to get open. Wandale Robinson, he actually could have had 2 touchdown passes in that game that went in and out of receivers' hands in that game. So Kentucky really showed me something. In fact, on the other show that I do, CFB Unfiltered, I have Kentucky in my own personal top 10 at number 8 in the country. I think they're that good. But Mississippi State, that home environment with those cowbells and stuff like that, you cannot discount. We've learned one thing, TK. Home field advantage is ridiculous this year. Yeah, I don't know if it's all the built-up frustration and not having home games last year or what, but their fans are just raucous this year, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that Mississippi State is another tough place to play, especially if you haven't played there. It's a unique place, bro. Them cowbells be dangling, bro. It's ridiculous. Like you can hear the joints when you leave the stadium still, like in your ears. So, it's very unique, bro. So that'll definitely come into play for sure.
Night game too. Yeah, bro, that's gonna be rowdy.
They're gonna be sauced up. Have 2 of them. Ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Two cowbells and a handle in their boot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. What is gonna be lit in there, man? So definitely they got their work cut out for them. But on the other side of that, like we talked about, Coach Stoops and that defense, they're solid too, bro. So. It'll be a fun battle. Be a fun battle down there. What's the what we say? 1 point to who?
It's 1-point favorite, Kentucky on the road. But TK, when you talk, what you just thought about, and it just popped into my mind. You got Mike Leach, who the master of this air raid, the inventor, him and Hal Mumme of a long time ago of the air raid offense, right? To, you know, going up against Mike Stoops, who is a defensive genius, in my opinion. I mean, he does a great job of just putting his players in positions to have success, right? A J.J. Weaver, Pascal, you know, all of these guys. Of course, you know, in the middle, DeAndre Square, all of these players, Yusuf Corker, they've got all these guys who are just relentless to the ball. So it'll be very interesting to see how they adapt their style, you know, to be in more of this finesse type game, right? A game that's going to be played on the perimeter. So with that being said, TK, all the factors we've talked about, what is your prediction of the game here with Kentucky, a 1-point favorite going on the road at night to Starkville?
1-point favorite for Kentucky. Can I get an over? What's the over?
Over under is only 47.5. So I think they're giving a lot of credence to both of these defenses. You know, these are two very good defensive teams throughout this year, honestly. So over under is only 47.5. That's probably the lowest under that a Mississippi State game's had in a while.
That's what I was thinking before I was going to write my score in here. All right, I'm taking, man, I don't think they can handle them cowbells down there, brother. Not that I was just thinking, but I can hear them right now. I'm
PTSD.
Yeah, bro, Christ. I'm taking Mississippi State to win this game, bro. 28-21, I think they get it done.
By 28. 28-21. I got you. So, I just think really highly of Mark Stoops and his staff. Liam Cohen, what he's been able to do there offensively. I thought his game plan against Georgia was phenomenal. They just didn't have the horses to run that race, you know what I'm saying, in terms of getting after it for the entire game. I'm going to split with you here on this one, and I'm going to say Kentucky wins on the road. Another banner win, in my opinion, over a good Mississippi State team in this, you know, season where Kentucky's legitimately trying to march their way to an 11-1 record. I'm going to say Kentucky wins this ball game, and I think in order to do it with that air raid style and Will Rogers just letting it fly over there, there's going to be some plays made on that Mississippi State side. So I think Kentucky's going to have to get some big plays out of Wandell Robinson, of course, control the clock with Chris Rodriguez. I'm going to say Kentucky wins this one, and I'm going to say they do it 27-23, Kentucky in this one. So I think you and I both, actually, you're on the over. I'm on the under in this game. So we'll see how this one plays out. But another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we start, when we defer on games, we're going to have to start betting something like Shannon and Skip. I'm going to need some dew or something, bro. I'm going to start needing a little pile of something over here. You heard?
That's it. We'll get something going, a little side bet, and tell people about that on Friday. We'll have another show for you guys this coming Friday. Like I said, subscribe, turn on notifications, do all of that good stuff. But for my man, Tavares King here, I am Blaine Gilmer. And, guys, we will catch you next time on the Second to None podcast, brought in partnership by the Sideline Sports Network. You can see their stuff down at the bottom. But, guys, we will catch you on Friday. And, just get ready for another big week of SEC football.